T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's going to be the CBS Sports analyst on the call alongside Spiro Dides and Aditi Kinkabwala for Texans Browns. It's legendary NFL kicker, legendary CBS Sports analyst, the great Jay Feely joins us. What's up, Jay?
How are you? Can we talk about Michigan, Ohio State first?
You want to start there? We can start there if you want to. I mean, might as well. You guys kicked the tar out of us.
Let's go. I have to apologize to everybody who was down in Miami at the Turnberry Hotel because I was yelling pretty loud throughout that whole game.
Were you surprised, by the way? How much you guys just took it to us?
If I'm being totally transparent, after the first drive when you guys went right down the field and scored, I was – our producer went to Michigan as well with me, and I'm like, Jason, we are in trouble. Like, this is not good. You know, and then obviously when you saw Corum get hurt, he tried to run, he couldn't do it, and you take him off, and you're like, we're not going to be able to move the ball. Like, we got to throw. And I honestly think, you know, it was a very poor defensive game plan. Like, why are you allowing us to go over the top and put yourself in those one-on-one situations where we can win when we would have had a really hard time, I think, moving the ball consistently? You know, at the end of the game, obviously, we started breaking off big runs and doing that. But I think those three big plays down the field is what opened everything up.
Jay, Ohio State fans are spinning their tires right now. They're panicking. Of course, 2 years ago, it felt like Michigan was on the verge of getting rid of Jim Harbaugh. Yet they stayed the course. Jim made some changes in the program. What were those changes? How did Jim Harbaugh go from the guy that had to take a salary cut to keep his job to being the guy 2 years later has Michigan on the precipice of the playoffs for the second straight year?
I think he was a little introspective and looked at himself and thought about how he could do a better job as a head coach. One of those things was to really incorporate the former players a lot more. I think that's important at a school like Michigan that has so much tradition, and you know, to bring back that 97 team a lot more, which he's done. You had a lot of guys starting last year where he would come and ask you to come speak to the team. I was one of those guys. And I think when you do that, it brings a program together. You bring in the old and the new, and you, those players see the support from the former players, and that's the way that it should be. And I think he did a good job with that. I also think the NIL helped. You know, I think being able to compete on that level helps Michigan to go out and to recruit players all over the country and get some of those top players. So, you know, I think it was kind of a combination of things. But they've done a good job, and those players have come out and they've performed and won those big games, which they hadn't been doing, you know, in 20 years, really.
It's interesting. I feel like Harbaugh now looks at Ryan Day and has no fear of him at all. I felt like when Urban was there, there was more of a fear of Urban. For whatever reason, you know, obviously Harbaugh couldn't get over on Urban at all during his time there. But it is interesting, you know. Urban's an Ohio guy. He knows how much the rivalry means. A lot of people talking about Ryan Day. He's kind of an outsider, and does he really understand what the rivalry means to the players here and to the fans locally? I wonder if that factors in at all.
Well, I just think back to John Cooper. You know, he was so good all year long, but couldn't beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, and whether you're the Michigan coach or the Ohio State coach, if you can't win that game, you're not going to stay there.
Jay, let's get to the Texans-Browns game this weekend. Obviously, it's the return of Deshaun Watson.
Oh, and that's right.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that. I don't remember if you've seen the headlines on this one. But before we get into what we can expect this weekend, both on the field and maybe in the stands, I'm just curious, because there's a lot of debate about this in town. How much better do you think Deshaun Watson makes this Browns team this weekend?
I don't think anybody knows. I think from everything that I've heard from within the facility, he has looked really good, that he has looked great in practice, that they're very excited. You know, you go back to when he played last in that 2020 season, he was a top five quarterback on a very bad team. And you know, he's a guy that elevates you. There's certainly a lot to that game plan. I haven't met with the Browns yet. I haven't talked to him, so I'm not speaking out of turn. But there's a lot to what they can do that they couldn't do with Jacoby. And I'm not knocking Jacoby at all. I think he did a really good job. He played well. They didn't lose games because of Jacoby. I think he steadied the ship. He was a great leader on that team. There's a lot of positives. But there are things that Deshaun can do when you talk about the RPOs, you talk about the ability to get outside the pocket, utilize his legs, that threaten a defense that Jacoby couldn't do. But really, you know, you guys know this better than me, but the reason they're losing is because of that defense and the inability to communicate and inability of Joe Woods to get the most out of that defense. And then, you know, Cade York missing some critical field goals at critical moments.
Yeah, I wanted to get into the Cade York side of things too, because you tweeted about this a couple times. And there was a lot of talk about the holder, Bohorquez, you know, maybe not doing a good job. But you went back, Jay, and you looked at every missed kick he's had this year. What did you see?
I didn't want to be unfair to Corey Bohorquez because he has struggled as a holder. And I've showed that on air. You know, when he was with Buffalo, he did not do a good job, and that's one of the reasons why he lost that job. And then when he went to Green Bay, Mason had the worst year of his career. So I didn't want to be unfair to him, and I went back and watched every kick. And I knew he had worked hard throughout this offseason. Mike Prefer had told me how hard he worked to become a better holder, and there has not been bad holds. That's not why Cade York is missing his kicks. You know, you look at him and you see things technically that I think he needs to do a better job with his plant foot and his hips coming through the ball, down their target line, some fundamental things. But what ends up happening, especially with a young kicker, is pressure is cumulative. And, you know, you have a game where you miss two kicks like the Chargers game, and one of those is a game winner, and you go through, you know, some confidence issues, even if you don't admit it, and you're not as smooth, you're not as confident through the ball, and so it starts having an impact. You can see that. I mean, the kick against Tampa, you know, was not a good kick at all. He hits it way high up on his ankle, and he doesn't look in any way the same as the guy I saw kick against Carolina in week one.
Jay, how fixable are these issues with Cade York?
I don't know, because I don't know him personally, right? I haven't sat down and coached him and worked with him. I don't know how willing he is to listen and to do that. I know that I think he's very, very talented. And so I would think it is fixable. I mean, certain things, you know, you can adjust that plant foot. You can adjust your hips and focus on coming through, just like a quarterback coach or a receivers coach works on things with guys every week. And I'm sure Mike Prefer is doing that with him. It's a matter of, is he willing and is he able to make those adjustments on the fly during the season? Because that's difficult, Dustin. Like, you know, like, kicking is so mental. And so when you start to mess with your form in season and you try to make those adjustments, then you start to lose confidence. I think back to Aguayo, you know, who Tampa moved up and took in the second round. And everyone's like, oh, he's the, you know, the most accurate kicker in the history of college football. And he gets down there and he starts missing a few kicks at the beginning and just craters mentally. And then his form craters as a result of that, because he's not kicking through the same way. He's not confident. He's not hitting through it. You know, I mean, you think of pitchers when they lose it and then all of a sudden they can't find the strike zone, you know, because they're not free and trusting themselves. And so that mental aspect is what makes or breaks kickers.
Jay Feely, former NFL kicker, CBS Sports analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I know you also have some experience with Mike Prefer back in your days in New York, and he's kind of come under fire this year for some special teams issues on the Cleveland Browns. I'm not sure how familiar you are with this year's unit, but like when Mike Prefer has his special teams going, like, what is he known for as a coach?
Mike's a guy who's been around the game his whole life. You know, his dad was a special teams coach in the NFL as well, Chuck Prefer. I think very highly of Mike as a coach. He's very knowledgeable. He knows how to coach all the games. He helped me tremendously when I was in New York as a kicker. You know, he helped me look at some things. We actually changed up my steps and did a couple of things, changed where I was looking. Whether I was following the ball or looking at a spot, you know, did some things to help me become a better kicker. And so I have a lot of confidence in him. He certainly has the knowledge. He knows how to coach it, you know, and at the end of the day, like, when you're a special teams coach, you know, you can only tell the guys what to do. They have to go out there and they have to make the plays and they have to be able to execute on the field.
Hey, let's look at the Texans a little bit here as we prepare for this game. They appear, you know, on paper to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And, you know, the Browns come in as pretty heavy favorites on the road. Should this be an easy win for Cleveland?
You know, there's no easy wins in the NFL, right? But this is a team, if you look at the last 2 weeks especially, this Texans team, they've gotten down big early in the first half. And they're not built to play from behind. They're not built to protect the quarterback when he has to drop back, when, you know, a guy like Clowney and Myles Garrett can get after him. That's the key for this Browns team. And it'll be the big question because you got Deshaun Watson playing his first game, you know, in really 2 years almost. So is he able to come out and be efficient? You know, you look at the preseason, didn't play much, didn't play pretty effectively, had a number of drops when he was in there. So there's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to him and this offense and how efficient and effective it can be. I'm sure they're going to rely on the run game early on. You know, and this Texans team over the last 2 years has been historically bad against the run. They have a hard time tackling. They're the worst team in the NFL tackling. They have a hard time shutting down those holes. They give up the most yards before contact. So this is a team that you should come out, you should exploit with the run game and then be able to hit play action passes, and you want to put them down early and make them play from behind.
Jay, you mentioned the Deshaun Watson aspect of this. Are you expecting a circus environment around this game, given Deshaun, it's his old team, and obviously the very real civil lawsuits Deshaun is even still today dealing with outside of football?
Well, it's not going to be an easy game to broadcast, that's for sure. There are a lot of things that you have to talk about and to deal with. And there's a lot of things that Deshaun's going to have to deal with, you know, all the outside noise. And I'm sure there's going to be, you know, people there who aren't happy that he's out there playing. And, you know, the Houston fans, you know, he basically quit on that franchise, didn't want to be there anymore. And so, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of boos and there's going to be a lot of stuff going on outside. And for me, you know, as the broadcaster doing the game, there's definitely a juxtaposition between addressing what has happened. You know, I'm the father of three girls, and I would never want my daughter to be put in that position. But at the same time, Dustin, you and I have both been in locker rooms.
Yep.
And we know there's a lot of things that go on outside of football that maybe you don't agree with that a guy does. And really what you care about, though, inside that locker room is what kind of teammate is he, and can he help us win? So there's certainly a juxtaposition that's going to be going on in that game, not only on the field with Deshaun, but in the booth when we're talking about it, and it's going to be interesting.
Jay, is there anything Deshaun can say this week that might make the rest of the week easier for him?
No, I don't think so. I think he just needs to focus on football and his team and go out there, and you know, he's pretty much already addressed it. He's going to have to continue to address it, but you just got to focus on trying to be the best quarterback you can be this week.
All right, Jay, I know we're holding you from the golf game there. How is the golf game these days?
I don't get to play a lot, but we got this little skins game that we have out here every Tuesday. You know, and there's, I don't know, 70, 80 guys, a bunch of tour guys that play in it. It's at a par three course, so 18 holes, all par threes.
Wow,
and I'm 6 for 6 in the last 6 weeks, birdieing 18 and winning all the money. So hopefully we get 7 for 7 today.
Good man, Jay.
Get that cash, Jay.
Jay, enjoy the weekend, buddy. We appreciate your time and can't wait to hear you guys on the call.
See you guys.
Thanks so much. Jay Feely, former NFL kicker, CBS Sports analyst. He'll be on the call this weekend for CBS Sports on the Texans-Browns game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.